Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank the Lord for His wonderful grace today.
Yes.
Something that we could not earn. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
Just like our salvation.
Amen.
It's by grace that you are saved through faith. That not of yourself, is the gift of God. You know, I wondered for years, and it's just come clear to me here recently, when exactly did I get saved? Was it when I got here in Tallahassee, or was it sometime in Miami and at the second church or the third church? When exactly was it? And then, of course, I began to study the Word and realize that it's a point of surrender where you turn away from all that you know, all who you are, and you turn to Him with open hands and empty hands, and you throw yourself at His feet and say, Lord, there's nothing I can do, but I need you, Lord, to touch me. I need you to help me. Come to find out that was at the first church, because I remember getting to a place where I was just at the very end of everything. And the Lord reminded me of the day that I went and got into my little Pinto hatchback, pushed the seat down flat. It was foggy in there and hot, and I managed some kind of way to get on my knees in that little car. If you can imagine, big old linky me on my knees in the hatchback. Yeah, amen. He gave me, it was a Pinto. He gave me proper cover because the windows fogged up and nobody could see in there. And I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, you need to touch me tonight. You need to help me tonight. Lord, touch me. If you don't touch me, I just don't know how long I can continue on with this. Please touch me. And guess what? That night, He came through so mighty powerfully in my life.
Amen.
And I've had my ups and downs since then, and questions and different little things that come in that try to make you think that nothing happened. But saints, I'm here to tell you today, something happened. My wife looked at me afterwards. We were driving down 183rd Street off 27th Avenue in Miami, and she surprised me. She looked at me and said, you're different. I said, oh, really? You're different. Well, she was right. The Lord changed me, and I thank Him for it.
Amen.
Seems like, brother, you come every time we talk about love. We love you too. Love is a very powerful word, number one. It carries with it so many different connotations. Sometimes people will say, like I told a story of one lady that said, I love my children. I love my children. And she'd go and leave them all night long by themselves, wouldn't feed them, wouldn't look out for them. And it's like, no, baby, you don't love your children, because love is an action. And I see your love by what you do. Then you have some folks that they meet each other, and their eyes get bright, and they say, love at first sight. Well, actually, it's those pheromones and things that's working, and those chemicals that's working. You get that chemical sparking between you, and it's something that's between certain individuals that all of a sudden they really come alive towards each other. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, sweetheart? Amen. Y'all know what I mean back there?
Yeah.
Okay, now y'all don't act shy at everything here. But it was a physical attraction. Now it was.
Right.
It was a physical attraction. It was an eros kind of love, and that's your lower animal nature. Thank God that He put it in man to be attracted to a woman, and He put it in woman. Matter of fact, He told the woman, He made the woman get attracted to the man. I forget now how the words went in Genesis, but your desire will be to your husband.
Right.
And so he must have spoken a special something in the woman. And so that was that. And then you have your phileo love where men have certain things in common. And we have things in common here in the sense of we're working here in this building, working together and decorating and doing different little projects and things. It's sort of almost like a fraternity of sorts, a sorority and fraternity of sorts, where we're just in the same mind about things and we're just going after things together. You have the phileo. We talked about that when Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, I phileo you. You my brother. We down, Jesus. He said, no, I'm asking you, do you love me? He said, yeah, I told you, we boys. We running partners. We run together. That's not what he was talking about. What Paul Peter could see was the phileo love. But Jesus was talking about a different kind of a love. He was talking about an agape love. It's the kind of love that is like the love that God has. And so, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I would say that it's a review, but it's not a review because no two messages are ever the same. You can go through the same words, the same scripture every time, and it will come out different every time.
Yes, it does.
It's like stepping into a moving stream. Do you know that you never step into, if you step in that same spot and come back and mark your feet, and you 1 Corinthians 13, and you mark where you stepped in a moving stream, when you step in that same place again, y'all know that it's not the same stream.
Amen.
Because the one you stepped in is down, it's been moved. But you step in at the same spot, but it's a whole different body of water.
Amen.
So we're going to step back in here in 1 Corinthians 13 and see what the Lord will teach us about this love that's so important. He challenged me. Have you ever been hurt?
Yeah.
Anybody haven't been hurt? Yeah, toe up. Had to put limbs back on and stuff, you know. Thought my heart would just stop beating sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord is telling us that we can't let that stop us. We can't let that change us. I have been hurt and abused and just treated in so many different kinds of ways. And I've heard people say, well, I tell you what, I'm never going to be like that again in my life. Why would you change the way that you are? Why would you rob us of who you are because somebody else did not recognize the importance in you?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I have been preaching for years, that don't you change who you are because some jerk comes by and don't recognize you for who you are.
Amen.
And then the next person come by that's really in need, and you go, they ain't getting nothing from me.
Mm.
Well, you were the blessing.
Yes.
But you know what? You let Mr. and Miss Jerk change. You don't do that.
Mm.
You stay just who you are. You be who you are unless God tells you to change. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I had to get that one off my chest, as you can see. That's something that goes deep in me. Okay, Lord, we are here today to hear from you. And Lord, how we need to hear from you. That's why we came. God, please speak to our hearts today. Please, Lord, deliver us today from ourselves. Not just the devil, because you've already destroyed him. But Lord, there's something left behind that we have to battle with. It's us. Deliver us from the power of evil in us. And help us, Lord, to walk in accordance with your will and your word and your way. And Father, if something is said or comes through today to me or anyone here, help us to recognize it, to embrace it, and begin to move and walk in that area. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Do I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity? I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Paul is talking to, you know, the church of Corinthians had a real problem back there. He was speaking to them in several of these chapters about the gifts. They did not run short of the gifts operating in the Corinthian church. They did not run short of knowledge. It was operating. Prophecy was operating. Tongues was operating. What they ran short of was love. They were constantly trying to push in front of each other, constantly having the best gift, wanting to be the one that's seen the most, the one that's heard the most, wanted to out-speak in tongues and everybody else, wanted to out-prophesy everybody else, wanted to out-teach everybody else. And they did it in a manner that was not a loving manner.
That's right.
And so Paul went there and he began to teach them about what's really important. Listen, I understand. You guys got it. I see the gifts operating. That's a very knowledgeable brother right there. That is a prophetic word that's right on the money right there. Those tongues are very good tongues. They are really communicating. But now I need to talk to you about something else that is missing in your midst. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, and that's agape love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And so he was obviously talking about a language among men because he says, though I speak with the tongues of men. The Bible nowhere identifies a special angelic language that men will learn to speak. It's not there. We see in the scripture where angels did speak. Gabriel spoke to Mary. The two angels at the ascension spoke to the two disciples that were watching Jesus go up. So they did speak, but it doesn't say anything. So he was speaking metaphorically about tongues. If I speak in a tongue that you know or in a tongue that you don't know, if I don't have love, I'm like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What did he get that? Well, during that time, there was pagan worship going on, and they would have a lot of different things that they're saying and speaking and noise making, and every once in a while, they'd hit a gong or they'd do a cymbal. And he said, I'm doing no more than a pagan in worship if I do these things and don't have love. It has no profit at all. And he says, even if I have the gift of prophecy, a prophetic gift is a gift that can foretell you, that can tell you, can speak to you, and can speak into your life. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and though I understand all of the mysteries, I understand every mystery. And if I have all knowledge, he says, if I know all there is to know, and I have faith, all faith, so that I could step outside today and move a mountain and say, mountain, move. Though I've got all of that, but I have not charity. If I don't have love, he says, I am nothing. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all of these things, but I don't love you. I've got nothing. I am no thing. And though I take all of my goods and feed the poor, all of them, everything that I have, and even if I sacrifice my body to fire, to be burned, and I don't have love, there's no profit in it.
Amen.
All of the sacrifice in the world without love is unprofitable.
Amen.
Go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says about love, and this is agape love, and this is going to challenge you as it's challenged me, and I was reading it and hitting the desk as I read it. Charity or love suffereth long. It takes the ill with kindness. It takes the wrong with kindness. Yell at you. Push you. You take it with kindness. That's what it says.
Yes,
okay, now. All right.
I'm
about to step in your living room here with this. Yeah. It takes it with kindness. Charity does not envy. Like Cain envied Abel.
Yeah.
See, at the end of envy is murder. The end of envy is murder.
That's right.
Cain killed his brother.
Mm-hmm.
If we walk in envy, be very careful, because with our mouths we will begin to cause harm to one another. It doesn't envy. Charity does not vaunt itself. That means it's not rash. That it's not. It doesn't act super superior.
Mm-hmm.
Charity does not stick its chest out and look down its nose at others. I've heard it said, you know, it's hard to look up when you're always looking down. How How are you going to look up to God and you're always looking down your nose at somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Charity does not look down its nose at others. Charity does not puff itself up. Charity is not puffed up, the Bible says. That means it's inflated with pride.
Mm.
Walking around in pride. Am I in the front door yet?
Amen. You're getting in there.
Am I coming in? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't walk around in pride.
Amen.
Listen, pride is one of your biggest enemies that you will ever confront in this life. It's pride.
Amen.
It is insidious. It will show itself in so many different ways.
Yeah.
It will make so many different presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you say, well, I don't really think I was that good. You're in pride. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's false humility. False humility is pride. You know you were good. You know you did a good job.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was that good. That's false humility. My friend, that's pride.
Yeah.
You know what you're saying? Lay it on a little bit more. No, that wasn't me. Come on, tell me some more. No, that wasn't me.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not inflated. It does not behave itself unseemly. That is, discourteously. It's not discourteous. I'm still coming in the door, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna be in your house in a minute. If I ain't made it in yet, I'm coming. Yeah. It does not behave itself discourteously. Now, don't tell me you haven't had trouble with this. It does not seek her own. That means it's unselfish. Uh-oh. Where should I sit? Should I sit on the couch or in the chair?
You can't choose off.
It's it's unselfish.
Yes, right.
Let me say this again. It is unselfish.
Selfish.
Unselfish. Love, the kind of love that God tells us about, is an unselfish love.
Amen.
I know I'm selfish. Y'all ain't got to confess. I confess for us. I know I fight with that. I know I do. I absolutely do. But it's telling me, listen, when you see it raise its ugly head, stop praying. Say, oh, Lord, I don't need to be selfish in this. But what if I give him give it to him then? That thing is a problem right now. Somebody come to you and say, I need to eat something. You say, I only got $5. My last $5. Lord said, you know you should feed him. You say, well, I go inside and get you. Don't get no change. Give them the $5.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
That's extreme. I just took it to the extreme, okay?
Yeah,
I did take it to the extreme.
Yeah,
I did take it to the extreme, but I'm just saying you might be there.
That's right.
You just might be there. But he will bless you for it. It does not seek her own. It's not easily provoked. Uh-oh. That means that it doesn't fly into a rage. Can I get a glass of water? Put some ice in it for me, will you? Doesn't fly into a rage. It does not fly into a rage. Now, I mean, they could be in your face, breathing their stank breath in your face and spitting on you. And you, and some people do that,
yes,
just to provoke you.
Yes.
And it could be right almost about to touch your nose.
Help me, Lord.
And they're like, what you going to do? I'm right here. What? What's up? Not easily. I'm not now. I didn't say not provoked.
That's right.
Okay. Mm. Not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. In other words, you want to try to get away. It takes two to fight.
That's right.
And I promise you, if I could find the door, I'm out.
That's right.
I can probably fight. I still fight, but I hadn't done it in a long time.
That's right.
So, I mean, it'll have to be somebody my age or older for me to prevail in any kind of way, in a much worse shape than me. Amen. But, young man, I'm going to just pick up something. I can't dance no more than about 10 seconds, and that's it. So not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. That means it doesn't impute harm or ill.
Oh.
It thinks no evil. Now, this thing just went into your mind now. It just went into your head. And says, now, you say that you're loving? then look into your thought pattern.
Right.
And now how do you think? Because your thinking process will tell you exactly where you are. It thinks no evil. Now, come on, this is digging deep below the surface here. Love thinks no evil. It's just now entered into the level of your thought processes. And it does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, it's not disquieted by evil. It's not easily moved by evil, not easily moved, and you don't get involved with the evil as well. It's not easily moved by it. But what it does, it rejoices in truth, that it loves truth. Every time it sees truth displayed, it celebrates. Amen, that's truth, that's true. Amen, that's right. This is love. Get excited about that which is true. And hey, who is truth? Truth is a person. His name is what?
Jesus
is truth. And so it rejoices in truth. Here's something else it says about love. It bears all things. It bears up to all evil. All things. I think that's when I was ready to hit my desk. I'm like, oh, come on. No, no. It bears all things. All things. All this evil. It believes all things. That means it's not suspicious. Even though you have reason to be suspicious. It's not suspicious. If you don't have reason to be suspicious, not love, let me give you a suspicious moment. A man comes to you, smells bad, shoes dirty, clothes dirty, hair all out of place, and he asks you if you could please give him something, can help him out. And the first thing runs into your mind is he's going to take it and go and buy alcohol. That's suspicion. You're suspicious of him. Love says, here, brother, God bless you. That's what love would do.
Yeah.
Love would bless that man. Love would help that man. But listen, if you don't have love, you'll walk right past that person. You won't do a thing. And that could be the one that needed. Hey, I got another challenge for you. It could be an angel.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that sometimes we entertain angels and don't even know it. And we look at them and say, I know that's a drunk there. You better help that man.
Yeah.
Don't be suspicious. That's what it says about love. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It's always hopeful. It's always hopeful. It endures all things. When it says hopeful, it's always hoping for the best.
Right.
As bad as it looks, it's always hoping for the best.
Yeah.
It hopes for the best. Well, I hope things will be better. It looks bad, but it'll get better. It's going to be okay. I'm just feeling hoping that it will be better. It endures all things. That means it persists even in persecution. It will come out on the other side of persecution still as love. And a good example of that is Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I said to myself, you have got to be kidding me. They lied. They had a trial at night, an illegal trial. They took him to the governor, lied on him there. The governor wanted to let him go. He was too scared to let him go. And they after they beat him and made him carry his cross, they took him to Golgotha, laid the cross down, laid him on the cross, rammed the nails through his hand, through his feet, and then lifted him up and hung him and the weight of his body on those nails. All lies. He was righteous. And he had the nerve or the love, I have to say, to say, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive him. Now, somebody ain't paid you back your $10. And you've been mad at him for 2 years. Is it pie time? I'd like a little coffee with that, please. Okay? I'm not going in your bedroom, but I'm going to relax here in the living room here and just put the pie right there on the table there. Amen. It endures all things. And the Bible says that love never fails. It never fails. It is eternally imperishable. This is the kind of love that God loves, I'm talking about. Now, the phileo love, you make your brother mad after a while. He's gone. He's through with you. That's it. You make your girlfriend or your wife mad. Your wife going in the other room, hopefully don't leave. And girlfriend going to find somebody else. That's the arrows part, see. So it's weak love. It's there, but it's not. It's not kind. It's love. And all of them have emotions attached to it, which says to you that emotion is not love. Emotions are that. Emotions. Emotions are feelers. And so when those emotions are agitated or changed, all of a sudden, whatever that thing is that they're saying towards you, it starts to move away and change as well. So it's not emotions. This kind of love is not an emotional kind of a love, though it can be accompanied with emotions. But regardless of how you feel, this love, the Bible says, never fails. It's the God kind of love. It's agape. And it's something that you and I can walk in. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here telling us to do it. As impossible as it looks, it is very, very possible. It does not fail. But the Bible says, whether there be prophecies, remember he was talking about prophecies when he started, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In other words, love will outlast prophecies, that's predictions. Love will outlast tongues or languages. And love will outlast knowledge, that is all that is known. All that you know now. Love will outlast that. Love is eternally imperishable. All of these things will go. It will outlast all that you expect and say or know. All that you prophetically expect, all that you say, and all that you know, love will, it goes beyond that. But the Bible says that we know only in part. Only in part. I don't know it all. We don't know it all. Sometimes we act like we know it all, but all we know is what we know.
Amen.
See? But we only know in part. And then we prophesy, as perfect as the prophecy sounds, the Bible says it's only in part. In other words, you don't have the whole picture there. It's only in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. What? When that which is complete is come. Of course, you say, well, that must be Jesus. That must be preached. Well, no. Listen, Revelation 22. Let's go there real quick. It's talking about the eternal state, which is perfect. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Revelation 20, verse 1. Did I say 22? Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's perfect. When that has come, the perfect state, the perfect existence is down the road. But when that comes, then that which is in part will be done away with. It will be abolished, in other words. Knowledge and prophecy will finally, it hasn't been yet, but it will be. Listen, knowledge and prophecy, and I believe tongues are still operational, but if they're operated without love, they are no good at all. You might as well keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word if you don't have love in your heart.
Right.
Don't say it. Don't share any knowledge. Just hold it and work on your heart. Because these are still operational, and at least I believe they are,
yeah.
And many other commentators believe the same as well. But we still need to be able to minister to the body, however the Spirit leads us to do it. Verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul goes on and said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I even thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, is that very mysterious? Not really. When you were in first grade, when you were in kindergarten, and you were learning ABCs, it was hard until you graduated from kindergarten and you knew ABCs. And you knew how to say Alice and cat and dog and the and up and jip and down and jump and round and he and she. And you can read sentences. Say, I know how to read. And then you go to first grade. And say, okay, wait a minute. And you go to first grade, and now you got longer sentences. And you have punctuations, periods and question marks and exclamation points and dashes. It's like, wow, this is really hard. And you learn that and say, I really got it now. I really got it. And you got it. And you go home and you tell your mom about how much you can read. And you read. And mama say, that's good, baby. You say, I can read. I can get a job now. You're still thinking like a child, see? But now that you are a man and a woman, all of those processes that you went through now, they have no validity to you anymore. Because now you see as an adult. You recognize a lot of what you could not see. My boy one time in Miami, I said, well, let me ask you something, because he was talking a lot of static there, you know. I said, well, let me ask you something. What if a man like my size come at you? He said, I'll hit him, and then I'll jump up, and I'll kick him, and I'll knock him out. Little fella. I said, oh, okay. He didn't understand. Then my present son came at me one time with his fist. And I told my wife, just wait a minute. And it did not end well for him as well. So he got himself a reality check. But he thought as a child. He was thinking as a child. He was watching too much cartoons and too much of his stuff, too much Disney, right? And he seen him fly through the air, and he tried to swing off the shower curtain rod, just like you saw on TV. He tore the rod down. I didn't get mad. I said, well, I was a boy once. See? He thought as a child he won't do it now because he knows better, because he's grown now, see. But these are the kinds of things that he's talking about. But it's even now he's talking in the spirit about this, because when our eyes are completely open, then we will see perfectly and completely. We won't need the prophecy anymore. We won't need the knowledge. All of that's going to be done away. The tongues, the languages are going to be gone. They're going to cease, the Bible says. They're going to cut off and stop. We won't need it. Because we'll have that which is perfect. Meanwhile, the Bible says, walk in love. Well, it goes on in 12, says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. What's a glass darkly? Well, back in those days, mirrors one, they used to have polished metal. And it would give a reflection off of the metal when it started. And so it was not a perfect reflection, but it was enough where you could make out your image where it wasn't a perfect one. Then they came with glass, but it wasn't the kind of glass we have that you can see through. It was an opaque kind of glass. It let the light in, but it wasn't the clear kind of glass that we have. So they could see through a glass darkly, but they couldn't see it clearly. But when you go outside, you're seeing face to face. And that's what it's saying now. In our existence right now, spiritually, we're still looking through an opaqueness, an opaque glass as far as God and spirituality is concerned. But there's coming a day we will see face to face. And we won't have this need for this prophecy and tongues and knowledge, because we will be where these things are that we were talking about. We will be where those things are. We will see them face to face. We will be full grown and become first full grown in this way. And the Bible goes on and says, and now abides. Abides means it remains. Faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. So what did I just tell you? I'm going to read for you what true love really is. I'm going to go back and I'm going to review it for you. Love suffers long. It bears with a person's worst behavior without retaliation, regardless of the circumstances. Love is kind, diligently seeking ways to be actively useful in another person's life. Love does not envy. It delighting, that means delighting in the esteem and honor given to someone else. You're happy when things go well for someone else. You're not envious. Love does not parade itself, not drawing attention to oneself exclusive of everyone else. You're not trying to be the only one seen. Love is not puffed up, knowing one is not more important than the others. Love does not behave rudely, not engaging any person in ungodly activity. Love does not seek its own, being others, that means to be others-oriented, oriented towards others, the good of others. Love is not provoked, not resorting to anger as a solution to difficulties between myself and others. Love thinks no evil. That's the challenge for you. It thinks no evil, never keeping an account due on others. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, it never delighting in another person's unrighteous behavior, nor will I join its expression. Love rejoices in the truth, finding great joy when truth prevails in another person's life. Great joy for their victories in another person's life. Love bears all things, being publicly silent about another person's faults. You don't go running your mouth, tearing a person down. Love believes all things, expressing unshakable confidence and trust in others. Love hopes all things, confidently expecting future victory in another person's life. See, it's others-oriented, regardless of the present imperfections. Love endures all things, outlasting every assault of Satan to break up relationships. It outlasts that. Listen, it's an attack of the devil to try and destroy our relationship, to destroy what we have. It's an attack of the enemy, and he'll use your flesh to do it. He'll use your mind, your thought process to do it. Love lasts. It lasts and lasts and lasts. Now about it, faith, hope, and love, or charity. But the greatest of these is love. Why love? Because, saints, God is love.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this. Help us, Lord. You've challenged us with this need. You've challenged me. You've challenged us with this message of love. You're continually turning up the pressure on us to walk in accordance with your word and your way. Help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves to you so that you might be glorified in our lives and in this earth today. Bless everyone here today. They're here because you encouraged them to come, because you wanted to speak to all of our hearts concerning your love. We bless your name, Lord, and be with us as we go. And we walk in love as you've instructed us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.